We now begin Maseches Moed Katan, and this will serve as the general introduction. The word Moed Katan means minor festival, literally, or small festival, and it refers to the period we know as Chol HaMoed, which is the intermediate days of Sukkot and Pesach, where the first and last day of both Sukkot and Pesach are Yom Tov, in which all malacha is forbidden, unless it's tarche ochol nefesh, malach that's needed for food preparation, loosely speaking. So the Chol HaMoed restrictions are less than that. Now, there is undeniably kedusha to the days of Chol HaMoed, and they carry with them the Doraisa obligations of Simcha, v'samachta b'chagecha, to rejoice in the holidays, as well as the obligations of both Oneg, to enjoy oneself and enjoy the Chol HaMoed period, as well as Kavod, it's a requirement to certainly honor the days, and that those who are accustomed to even dress in their Shabbos clothes, etc. Nevertheless, the nature of the prohibition of doing Malacha during Chol HaMoed is not clear. It's subject to a machlokas, different ways of learning in the Rishonim. Now, this period, Chol HaMoed, is sometimes referred to as Chulo Shel Moed, or even just HaMoed. Whatever the case is, we're talking about those intermediate days where the restrictions are not so severe as on regular Yom Tov, and where the Torah never explicitly says that doing Malacha on Chol HaMoed is forbidden. And that being the case, there's a Gemara Chagiga, which is sets forth that it is forbidden to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed, but the nature of that prohibition really is subject to three of Machlokas in the Rishonim. The basic Gemara there, Chagiga Yud Ches Amud Aleph, says that the Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Tezayin Pasuk Ches, I should say, says, Sheshes Yamim Tochal Matzos, for 6 days you shall eat Matzos, Uvium Hashvi'i, and on the seventh day, Pesach, Atzeres L'Shem Elokecha. That's a day for stopping to be with Hashem, your God, Lo Asase Malacha. And on that day, one may not do Malacha. Now, the Gemara points out that the verse connects that seventh day, it's called seventh in a series, the previous six, to tell you that just as there's some level of atzira, of holding back, of doing malacha on the seventh day, so there is on the previous six. All the days of Chol HaMoed also are restricted. Nevertheless, you shouldn't think that the nature of the restriction is the same, because it's specifically Yom HaShvi'i, the seventh day, which is the atzeres, the full-blown stopping, which tells that the other days, while there is some restriction, they are a lesser restriction. And the Gemara's lashon is Lo Masrun HaKasuv Ela L'Chachamim. The verse handed the reins over to the rabbis to determine things, Lomar Lacha, and the rabbis are empowered to tell you Eza Malacha, Surah Ve'eza Malacha Muteres, which of the malachos are prohibited and which are permitted. Now, the meaning of that Gemara is a Machlokas Rishonim. There are those who learn, like the Rashbam, like the Sefer Yerayim, that the Gemara is telling you that Malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Issur D'oraisa. It's forbidden by the full force of the Torah. And one does Malacha is over Issur D'oraisa, and it was just handed over to the rabbi to determine which of those Malachas were forbidden by the Torah. Now, it is quite uncommon that the Torah would make something have the force and weight of a Doraisa and yet hand it over to the rabbi to determine the parameters of that Doraisa. But it does happen. And it does happen from time to time. For example, a mikvah is a Doraisa concept, but the requirement for 40 saw is the rabbis define the parameters of what it makes for a kosher mikvah Doraisa. And similarly, you have on Yom Kippur, there's a Doraisa requirements for inui, for self-affliction and sort of impoverishing your soul, and yet your nefesh, I should say, whatever that is, your person, maybe impoverishing your body is the way of putting it. But anyways, the question of how much liquid, say, drunk, would contravene that requirement of inui. So that's the rabbi said it's malalugma, but it's a cheekful, and that was a rabbinic definition, the parameters of the Doraisa requirement of inui. So you have it here too, that the Torah is saying, don't do malacha on Chol HaMoed, But exactly which malachas and the parameter of what you can and can't do, we're handing over to the rabbis to make those decisions. As you will see, the gist of Chol HaMoed and the restrictions thereon is to ensure people enjoy Chol HaMoed. And therefore, we have to sort of balance this tricky the tension between if we didn't restrict, if the Torah didn't restrict malachos, then people would be working instead of enjoying the Yom Tov. But if you put too tight a restriction, people can't do the things they want to do, prepare the food they want to eat, and play the games they want to play, and so on. And also, they could suffer certain losses, which might cause them great distress, and so on. So therefore, we have to navigate the balance between what should be restricted to ensure people are free to enjoy the Yom Tov, and what's permitted so people aren't distressed from lacking or loss on Chol HaMoed. So that's the one extreme, that it's a d'oraisa. On the other extreme is the Rambam, as well as Tosfos and the Rosh, who understand that this Gemara is telling you that the restrictions in Chol HaMoed are entirely rabbinic in nature, that this limud from the verse is an asmachta, meaning there's a rabbinic prohibition against doing malacha on Chol HaMoed, and they looked for as an asmachta, like a scriptural support for their rabbinic position, and they pointed here. That being the case, according to the Rambam, etc., if one does malacha on Chol HaMoed, he's subject to the rabbinic lashes and so on. And all the rabbinic restrictions are to ensure that people are mindful of the fact that Chol HaMoed is just not another day. It has the kedusha that's invested with it. There's a day for brewing a korban chagiga. There's obligation of Simchas Yom Tov, Onig and Kavod, etc., as I said before. And therefore, we want people to be free to enjoy and focus and appreciate the day. So therefore, there's rabbinic restrictions. This position is really, bottom line, the position of the Shulchan Aruch and the Sephardim, that the malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Isser Derabban. There is a middle position, and that position is the one that is kind of conventionally assumed for Ashkenazi Jewry, which is that there is malacha on Chol HaMoed is prohibited by the Torah. However, the Torah itself says anything that you need to do for the sake of the moed, for the Chol HaMoed, that is going to be permitted. And certainly anything that's a davra aved, things which would otherwise cause you, if you didn't do the malacha, would cause you to incur a loss. So it's permitted to do so. So it's a little more flexible what is and what is not prohibited. But there's still, the bedrock is the Torah itself said no malacha on Chol HaMoed. Just the permissibility of what you can do is quite loose from the Torah's perspective. And the rabbis then came put their foot down and said certain things you can't do with that involve tircha yaseira, excessive work, or maisa omen, professional labor, to ensure that the integrity and sanctity and purpose of Chol HaMoed is maintained. Okay, so at all events, whether it's d'oraisa or rabbanan, the bottom line is that malacha on Chol HaMoed in general is forbidden. That said, there are, let's say, five different categories or exemptions where one is allowed to do malach on Chol HaMoed. The first and most basic is for tzorach ochel nefesh, for the sake of preparing food and having food. That's already permitted, of course, even on Chol HaMoed, actually on the regular Yom Tov, the full-blown Yom Tov days. But worthy of note is that when it comes to food preparation, etc., tzarchi ochel nefesh, one can do professional activity, ma'is omen. In contrast, the second category of just things that are tzarch ha-moed, just general needs for chol ha-moed, like I don't know if your pants rip or you want to play a game of tic-tac-toe or something, so then that's also permitted, but there you may not do a ma'isa omen, you may not do professional quality labor, you only can do ma'isa hediot, like loose amateur-y labor that's certainly with the shinui and so on, not with professional quality labor, though the precision and effort that goes into that. Then you have a third category, which is tzarchei rabim, for the needs of the masses. If there's some need that like the community needs, so even if it involves professional work and tirchei asera, if it's a need, it's a need. So for example, in the Beis HaMikdash, during Chol HaMoed, they would build the bleachers and so on, the gzustras, the balconies. They'd build the balconies and area for the women to stand to watch the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That, of course, could require professional carpentry. It could require a lot of work. That could be tircha, a lot of work. That could be ma'is uman, yet it's permitted because it's for tzarchei rabim, for the need of the community. The fourth category you have is davar ha'aved. If you're going to incur a loss, a significant loss on chol ha'moed, if you don't do some malacha, malacha becomes permitted to save yourself from that loss. But there, it's only permitted if it doesn't, that work doesn't involve a tircha yaseira, excessive labor. Once excessive labor is involved, so then the rabbi said, no, even if you're going to incur a loss, too bad, we're not having people do work on chol ha'moed that requires so much effort. And finally, there's like a fifth category. It's sort of like a side point, but if you're a poel she'ein lo mala yochal, if you're a worker who has nothing to eat, so then you're permitted to work on chol ha'moed to earn the money you need to have food to eat and so on, because of course you can't enjoy Yom Tov one bit without working. So you see that's certainly a blanket leniency for people who need money. They can work to earn the money on chol ha'moed, so they can put food on the table and enjoy the Yom Tov. You see from all of this that the driving rationale, if you will, and of course, since this is deraisa, it's tricky to sort of say the rationale of the Torah, it's giving time and dekra, giving reasons to the verses, which is, you know, one's not supposed to do. But certainly to the extent that it's rabbinically involved, and you see that the nature of even deraisa is handed over to rabbinic setting of parameters. So you see that it's about, as I said before, facilitating a framework in which people can both preserve the sanctity of the day and be mindful of it, and at the same time enjoy the day and not be restricted to the point they can't enjoy anymore. So the Ritva says, for example, this is a Ritva in Yud Gimel of the Masechta, Yud Gimel Malaf. He says that the Isra Malach of Chol HaMoed is Kadei Lema'at Batircha, is to reduce people's labors, Shiyu Pnuyim, so that they'll be free, Lismoach B'Simchas HaRegel, so they can be free to enjoy the Yom Tov, the holiday. We want to free them up. And similarly, the Yerushalmi says, this is in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel of the Masechta, Klum Isser La'asos B'Cholo Shel Moed. The only reason that there are restrictions on Chol HaMoed, El Kadeshiyu Ochlin V'Shosin V'Yigiyim B'Torah, so that people should be free to eat and drink, and really be merry by learning Torah. So that's the rationale behind the restrictions. At all events, that is basically the overview of the Masechta. The Masechta will then now go in to define the parameters of what constitutes davar aved, what constitutes tircha yasera, what constitutes things that one is permitted and not to do, and based on the rabbis, and really to explicate what we just set forth up to now. That really is the scope of the entire Masechta.